Whether you lost a loved one, a job, or a pivotal milestone like your graduation ceremony, just about everyone has been affected by COVID-19. And grieving those losses isn't a simple process. We may try to get over it, to get back to normal, to find closure. But our next guest says closure is a myth. And as tempting as it may be to try to forget the things we missed, our guest today says we should instead live with and embrace those losses. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you dealt with a loss during the pandemic? Are you willing to share that story? Do you know someone else who lost a loved one? Do you feel like you're able to get over the challenges you faced? How have you made a new life after that loss? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Pauline Boss is Professor Emeritus of Family Social Science at the University of Minnesota. Her latest book is The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. She's also from Wisconsin and a UW-Madison graduate. Pauline, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
I want to start with this core idea. I think there's this idea out there in our culture that after a loss, you know, a loss of a loved one maybe, the goal is to find closure, to get back to normal. And if we don't get there, we're doing it wrong. Talk about why, please, that's a myth.
It's a myth because it's not possible once you've had a relationship with someone, once you've loved someone, that when they're gone, it's not possible to close the door on them. Most people remember them, keep them in their hearts and mind, do things in their honor, and tell stories about them and so on. So the normal way is to remember the person who is gone from death, for example, instead of closing the door. And even if you look back at the sages who taught us, from Freud to Kubler-Ross, in their personal writings, they also indicate that they didn't have closure on their own personal losses, even though in their professional writings, they seem to tell us that detachment was the thing, at least Freud did, and Kubler-Ross essentially had presented the five stages, which were deeply misunderstood. In general, we want meaning instead of closure. We want certainty of where our loved ones are buried, of whether or not they're dead or alive, and that means with ambiguous loss, you're never sure if the person you care about is going to come back or not, as they used to be. And that can be a case of soldiers missing in action or kidnapped children. That's physical ambiguous loss. Or it can be psychological ambiguous loss, is when someone is sitting right in front of you, they're present, but they don't know who you are. So there are different kinds of losses. One is one with certainty, that is when there's a death certificate, and the other is when they're missing. In mind or body, and that's an ambiguous loss. In either case, there is no closure.
You include the phrase ambiguous loss in the title of your book, and with COVID, it seems like that added a whole new category that you talk about a lot in the book, where a person may have passed away because of COVID or something else, maybe in a hospital setting, and you couldn't be with them, and the opportunities to mark their passing in the way we usually would with a funeral or something like that, that was taken away from so many people. Did that add to this challenge of ambiguous loss?
Yes. Now, not being able to have a funeral, the ritual of a funeral, is a psychological ambiguous loss, but it also has a physical component because the gathering of friends and family is usually a comfort to the person who is mourning, and that couldn't be done. But there were other losses, many, many losses during the pandemic. And I think part of our anxiety has been the result of the uncertainty about, are we safe? Can we trust the world we live in to protect us? And can we trust the people sitting next to us on a bus as to whether or not they might pass the virus? So these are all ambiguous losses. And then, of course, there were many clear-cut losses, many quantifiable losses, such as loss of income, loss of a job, and things like that. So during this pandemic, during this difficult 2 years or more, people have had many losses, and I think they're not aware of it, which would normalize then the feelings of anxiety that they have. I think that feeling anxious in the past 2 years was a normal reaction to an abnormal situation.
I think a lot of people during the pandemic have had that sense like, okay, yes, things are bad now. We're going to get back to normal. It's going to be over in the rearview mirror, and then we'll get back to normal life. And that, in many ways, keeps receding and getting pulled away from us. How do we create a normal life in a time of ongoing uncertainty like that?
I write about both and thinking in the book. The best way to cope with this kind of stress that we're having now, and I think still for a little while longer, although I hope it's receding, and that is by thinking both and. You know, I both think this is terrible and I can manage it. I both am restricted in what I can do, and I can learn some new things meantime. I both am restricted from going to concerts and large-scale gatherings, and I can still have contact with friends in sidewalk cafes. So this both-and thinking is the way to reduce stress during a time of great pressure from the outside. When something else is controlling your life, like a virus, like a war, those kinds of things, then you need to find something smaller that you can control in your life. So I think we all can do that. And I believe that's why during the height of the pandemic, many people were baking bread, because you could control that for a couple hours. You knew what you were doing. You controlled the outcome. You enjoyed the outcome. And those kinds of things are very good coping mechanisms for when the outside context of your life is in chaos.
We're talking to Pauline Boss about her new book, The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you'd be willing to share a story of a loss in your life, a loved one maybe, or loss of normal life in one way or another. How you've worked with that. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Yordis is with us in Colfax. Yordis, hi.
Hi. I have had a terrible time with grief. We lost two kitties during COVID, and one to cancer and one to a brain tumor. And I just collapsed. I couldn't stop shaking. I've never had medication to control any kind of emotional thing like that. And I actually needed to have medication at an emergency room because my husband was terrified. And it was, you know, I've read three books about grief. And see, the first cat, it was sudden. His cancer was rapidly growing, and he passed very suddenly when we took him in. It was severe. He had to be euthanized. And the second cat, he was getting sick, and then he would get better, and then he was getting sick, but he never quite got all the way better. And it took a long time, probably 6 months of nursing, you know, taking him to the vet, figuring it out, helping him. And when he passed, the vet figured that he was, the brain tumor, when it was growing, was causing the symptoms, and then when it stopped growing, he would seem to get better. And so it was, you combine that with COVID, which has made me terribly anxious, and then the former president, that was just fear all the time.
Yordis, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry you went through that. Pauline, with a series of losses like that, how do we start to try to get out of that, the darkest part of that?
Yeah, I'm very sorry for such losses, and what she really described was a pileup of losses.
Right.
And we call that stress pileup also. what it does after a while, especially if you have so much piled on top of one another, it makes us feel helpless. And helplessness is not a good thing for a human being. And so you probably need to see somebody for help with learning how to cope with these helpless feelings. But meanwhile, what I write about is mastery. We are a nation of people, at least in Western culture, who like to master situations. We like to master problems and find cures for the things we love, for our pets and our people that we love. We like to master and fix things. And when we can't, we feel helpless. And so I think it's useful for you to think about this as something that you did the best you could, but you couldn't fix it. The same with the pandemic, the same with politics, and unfortunately the same with your two kitties. And so sometimes we fail, and we have to allow ourselves that possibility that we work hard, we do the best we can, and we still can't solve the problem. The pandemic has taught us something. It was an invisible enemy out there around us, very dangerous and deadly. And at first, we could not control it at all, at least not until the scientists came up with vaccine. You still have to find something you can control in your life. For example, putting on a mask, getting a vaccine were very helpful things to control. And what you did by going to the vet and doing the best you could, you too did the best you could to control. And now and then, we still have a loss because of that. Don't blame yourself. Many times, the blame is on an illness. The blame is in the context. Externalize the blame. Don't take it on your own shoulders. That's too much.
Yordis, thanks for being willing to share that with us. Pauline Boss is with us, professor emeritus at the University of Minnesota, author of the book we're talking about, The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you or someone you know lose a loved one during COVID? What strategies are you using to try to process that loss? Does it ever get easier? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Pauline Boss about her new book, The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. Before I go back to our callers, Pauline, you apply some of your ideas about grief and loss to racial trauma and racial injustice in the United States as you were writing this, not just COVID, but the murder of George Floyd in your city of Minneapolis. How do you apply your thinking to this vast historical situation?
Well, I began at the University of Wisconsin in Madison studying ambiguous loss on a family basis. As I said, the wives of soldiers missing in action, and then the families of loved ones who had Alzheimer's disease. What I'm realizing now that it can also be on a community and a national and a global level. It can be the larger family, if you will, the family of the community. And what I noticed during the George Floyd killing, that there has been injustice amongst the black families for so many, I would say, centuries, hundreds of years since slavery, when the families were sold apart from one another on auction blocks. And that trauma of ambiguous loss, of not knowing where your children were or not knowing where your parents were or your mate, that trauma has been passed down through the generations. And there has been no acknowledgement of it. You can't cope with something until it has a name, until you know what it is. And I think the ambiguous loss of what happened to the families of the slaves way back when is still with us today, and we need to face it. We need to acknowledge also the genocide of the Native Americans and all the other kinds of separations of families that we have done. We can't just bury it. And those that happen in our neighborhood, we have to face them. And what is called for is major change, major systemic change in how we interact as a community, as a human family.
Let's go back to our callers now. Emily is with us in Green Bay. Emily, hello.
Hi there. I was just wondering if you guys could touch on how the COVID pandemic affected people's mental health. My close friend completed suicide because they felt so lonely and didn't have anyone to talk to during these times. Do you have any information or resources you're able to provide?
Emily, I'm sorry. Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry for the loss of your friend. Pauline, the loss of connection there was a key element, it sounds like, for Emily's friend. How do we make sure we stay connected even in a tough time?
Yes, I'm so sorry about that loss. It was very difficult during this long period of COVID to stay connected with friends. And many of us learned to use technology to do that for the first time, Zoom and so on. But still, there were many people who didn't have broadband and many people who didn't know how to use the technology or didn't have computers. And what I find with the younger people is that they like to text, and older people don't because they want to use their voices and talk on the phone. So that sometimes older people didn't talk with anyone for weeks at a time. So you had to sort of figure out another way to stay connected. In my apartment building, for example, some younger people down the hall, they would go to the farmer's market, but I wouldn't because I'm 87 and I was high risk. I would find a bunch of vegetables in a bag on my door. Now, they didn't talk to me, but that was a lovely piece of communication by having vegetables dropped at my door. And so I knew that someone cared nearby. But I hope this, that now that things are easing up a bit, that we have neighborhood groups, that you have friendship groups, that you have book groups, that you have athletic groups, walking groups, because we are social animals and we need to talk with each other. And it's very important for you now to go out and have some two or three other people that you like to spend time with, like-minded people, that you can be with several times a week. It's time to be social again. It's necessary for human health.
Thanks again for calling in, Emily. Mark joins us now in Greenville. Mark, hi.
Hi there. All right, so my question is sort of about, so we've had this heightened anxiety from the pandemic, and I'm sort of questioning why sometimes, like, past experiences of trauma all of a sudden are brought up because of other incidents happening now.
Mark, thanks for that call. That makes sense. I think in some ways we're in a tough time, and maybe something from years ago rears up again, Pauline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The caller was very wise about that. And what happens is, if we've had trauma early in our life and we haven't dealt with it, we haven't had help with it, even if we were children, it's still with us. And then maybe a decade or two later, along comes another event, and that will bring back the echo of that first trauma. So I think we need to talk about our experiences early on, all the losses we have had, the clear losses, the ambiguous losses, the ones you can't put your finger on. Find somebody to talk to, a peer, a grief group, a recreational group, or a therapist, because it's very important to deal with the traumas we've had early in life, because they will rear their ugly head again when we have a current trauma like we've had now.
Mark, thanks for that call. We just have a minute left. Pauline, you're very helpful about how we can tap into our resilience. Can you leave us just in a minute with your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we're more resilient than we think. And you should check your own experience these past 2 years. Haven't you learned something new? And if you're still standing, you should pat yourself on the back for getting through a worldwide pandemic, and for learning something, and for, I hope, being stronger for the experience that you've had. Suffering actually can make us stronger. At least you need to know that you've learned something from it and that you are stronger than you think. And so are your neighbors. And so the empathy for them and the empathy for yourself is very important once we're coming out of this tough time.
Pauline, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
You're welcome.
Pauline Boss is the author of the new book, The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. You can find a link to her book and more info at WPR.org/Central Time.